Greetings, the St. Paul community, and those of you who are joining us to take some time away to reflect on God's word and work in our lives. And as we go in to celebrating Palm Sunday today, I pray that your Lenten journey has been fruitful for you and that you have been able to feel the presence of Christ in your life, even in those unexpected ways. And as we gather in for this time of reflection today, I invite you to take a few moments here. Take some deep breaths, get comfortable, and enter into that prayerful state. And we begin today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we recognize you as our King, cheering Hosanna, just as the crowds did in Jerusalem. As we enter this Holy Week, we lay our hearts before you, trusting in your victory over sin and death. Rule in our lives and guide us to follow you in humility, today and always. Amen. Our reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, assuming human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at that name given to Jesus, every knee shall bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I'm sure many of us have played the game Uno before, and I'm sure if you played it with your family or your friends, we have those stories of those cutthroat moments that come from playing Uno. It's a simple game, but it has various cards that require people to pick up more cards. You can skip somebody's turn. You can even reverse the gameplay on itself. And there's these moments in the game where everything changes. And what we thought was going to go one way is suddenly it now going a completely different way. And it's because of these cards and these shifts in the game that it can very quickly get heated depending on who you're playing with. And with rising popularity of Uno in recent years and with different variations of the game coming out, like Uno No Mercy and Uno Attack, there's a social media trend that caught on not too long ago that captured these cutthroat but funny moments that capture the nature of one particular card in the game. The Uno reverse. And now in Uno, when you're playing and this card is played, it literally flips the direction of the play. And so people on social media have taken to this idea and turned it into a funny joke. And they've turned the Uno reverse into a moment of slipping a situation back on somebody, usually in a funny or unexpected way. And there were times where friend groups would go out for an expensive meal together and would Uno reverse each other for who had to pay the check. Or moments in sports when a flag or a penalty was called on a player and enraged, but also trying to be funny, the player would pull an Uno reverse card out on the ref. Or times where parents would comment how often their kids spend on their phone, but the kids would then Uno reverse the parents and show them how much they had actually shared on Facebook. But this trend captures funny and unexpected moments where the expectations are turned around. That moment where the tables get turned, when assumptions are flipped on themselves, when you expect something to go one way, but suddenly it's going another. And the trend caught on for a while because it was funny to capture these surprising moments. But if we take some time to look for these moments where the reversals are happening around us, we'll see that they happen a lot more than we think. Not just in games, not just online or in social media trends, but in our everyday lives. even throughout Scripture. And as we look throughout the Bible, there's this theme of a reversal of expectations that's experienced again and again. And if we start looking in the Old Testament, there's many stories that show an example of this reversal. We read of Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, which led him to be falsely imprisoned. And just when we think his story is at its lowest, we hear of this reversal, and he rises into power. And it's with his new power that he has that he doesn't hold a grudge against his brothers. He doesn't make his family pay for what he had to go through because of their actions and choices. But instead, with his new power, Joseph uses it to save his family and to ultimately show his brothers forgiveness. And we have the story of Jacob and Esau, who, despite being twins, both lived in this sibling rivalry, that fighting over their parents' affection for their whole lives. Now, Esau was the older brother, favored by their father, and he was set to inherit the family's name and wealth and land upon his father's death. But the younger brother, Jacob, was his mother's favorite, and he resented Esau for their relationship with their father. And the story goes on to tell us that their father got old and became ill, and Jacob and his mother, Rebekah, tricked his father into blessing Jacob instead of Esau on his deathbed. And then, with his father's blessing, Jacob runs away to hide from the consequences of his actions. But then we have this reversal, whereas he's dealing with his choices and comes to terms with what that means, he's renamed Israel and becomes the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. We also have the story of David and Goliath, which tells us that the small and faithful can overpower and win against even the most mighty and powerful. And we read again of this message in the second letter to the church of Corinth, where Paul writes that power is made perfect in weakness, reminding us that we don't always have to be the biggest or the strongest or the most prepared, but Paul tells us that God's strength is actually best witness when human strength is limited. We have this foundation of a reversal of expectations throughout the Old Testament into the New, and so it's not hard to see how this continues to be foundational and a formational part in Jesus's life and ministry as well. And Jesus's story starts at his birth, where he's born in a stable, laid in a manger, wrapped in cloths. Jesus was not born in a big palace or in a big bustling city, but rather in a small, quiet stable without even a real bed to sleep in. And then we jump forward in his ministry, having various stories about how Jesus healed the sick, especially those who had been cast out by society. We hear of Jesus approaching and interacting with lepers and others with skin diseases, interacting and being with those who were demon-possessed and living on the outskirts of town. How Jesus went to be with those who were born blind and left to fend for themselves. Jesus went to be with the lame who had no one else showing them love or helping to care for them. Jesus reversed the norm of this time to avoid the sick, to cast them out to stop the spread of illness, and instead went to them, meeting each one of them exactly where they were and healing them. We also have many stories of Jesus gathering with sinners and outcasts to share a meal with them. And in the time when Jesus lived, sharing a meal with somebody would have held the significance of showing a relationship with those who gathered together. It would have sent a message of social acceptance. It would have represented a bond that was formed and growing between those around the table. Jesus once again broke and reversed these social norms of saying within your family or saying within equals or those higher than you to share a meal. And instead, he invited those who society deemed unworthy to join him at his table. We hear of the many ways that beyond that, Jesus welcomed the outcast, how he had noticed those who were unseen, how he taught all of those around him. We hear about how Jesus loved the unloved, how he used everyone that he could, even women and children, to reverse the societal expectations at the time to share of God's forgiveness and acceptance and love and grace throughout all of his ministry. And in our reading from Philippians today, Paul is writing this hymn as a celebration of these reversals. And Paul writes that even though Jesus existed as fully God, he also emptied himself as fully human. And Jesus took on the form of a servant. We see this most clearly in the time where we read of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, an act of again reversing those norms to show a profound love to his disciples, a moment where he taught them to be servant leaders, not to lead based on their power or their dominance or their strength, but to lead based on love. And Paul continues on through Jesus's servant leadership and ministry as Jesus continually humbled himself, even to the point of death. And in that we have Jesus fully emptying him and his own humanity to the point of dying on the cross, not using his strength and power as God, but rather yet again reversing it to die for those around him. But it's through his death that we all see and experience another great reversal of expectations. The expectation at the time would have been that now Jesus is dead, and he's died in such a horrific way that those following him would abandon their faith and would walk away from the things that Jesus left for them. The expectation would have been that now that Jesus is gone, his teachings and his radical love would slowly start to disappear from those who continued to hold it in society. Now that Jesus was dead, it was proof enough that he was not who he said he was. He was not the Son of God. The expectation would have been that Jesus is dead. But it's in that time where God pulls out the biggest Uno reverse card of them all and shows that from Jesus' death comes even more abundant life for all believers. And Jesus is raised from the dead. And his ministry and his way of life becomes even more deeply rooted in those who followed him and believed him, in his disciples and those that Jesus had healed and touched and changed throughout their lives, continued on teaching and spreading the good news of the gospel further than it had ever gone before. And God exalted Jesus' name even more highly, that his name was now above all other names, and that at his name, every knee shall bend, every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. Even after his death, Jesus continues flipping and contorting and reversing societal expectations. And today we see these reversals continuing to happen in the ways that God calls us, in the ways that Christ meets us in our lives, in the choices we make and how to live out faithful lives, in the ways that we gather together as the community of Christ. And as we all do this, living into the life that God calls us towards, living in a way that celebrates Christ's ministry, I invite us to go forward into this Easter season, being intentional about finding those moments and sharing our faith and proclaiming a gospel that shows that the kingdom of God is not about meeting expectations, but rather about overturning them and Uno reversing them. Amen. Join me again in another word of prayer. We pray for the church, all of creation, and the whole people of God. Almighty God, we pray for the whole church as we finish our Lenten journey and enter into Holy Week beside Jesus. We ask you to hold us in your promises of love and forgiveness as we follow your call to be the church amidst the chaos of the world. Teach us to live in a way that overturns and reverses societal expectations so that all around us may better experience you. Guide us to be your hands and feet in the lives of all of those around us, giving others the abundance you so freely give to us. Creator God, we rejoice in all aspects of your grand creation. Protect and comfort all as futures seem unclear. We ask that you continue to make your presence known to us in the ordinary moments of life, through the people we meet, the conversations we have, and the lives that we live, turning everyday moments that we tend to overlook or to not notice into extraordinary acts of your work. In protecting God, we pray for the whole family of Christ. We ask that you continue to comfort those who feel alone or grieve, that you heal those who are sick, that you let your love be felt in those who feel unworthy and unloved. Teach us what it means to love those around us for who they are and not who we see them to be. We trust in your promises to us and go out in faith with the gifts you freely give to all. And we pray all of these prayers and the silent ones of our hearts in your holy name. Amen. Let us go out in peace now to serve the Lord. Amen.